Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. We're really glad you tuned in. And if you just tuned in, I don't often say this and refer to our first hour. It is a two-hour show. First hour, we talked to Dr. Bruce Wilkinson about forgiveness and the soul torment associated with it. I've never heard anybody unpack forgiveness and unforgiveness like Bruce Wilkinson. Never. I mean, we talked about the process and a biblical account for what even God allows when we refuse to forgive. And it's really the connection to so many soul angst, so much self-sabotage. I'm telling you, that felt like one of the most important conversations we've had in a long time. The podcast will be up in just a little while. And I only say that because I want this for you. I want this for me, because on the other side of that is freedom and powerful praying and all those kinds of things. Well, now we're going to switch gears and talk to my good buddy, Dr. Greg Smalley. So here's my question for you before we get Greg on. Are you ready? If you're married, would you honestly say that you're good at grabbing those everyday moments with your spouse and making them count? Or do you rush through your days to the point that all of them become a blur to you? You know, do you rush through them to the degree that you feel like you just don't have time to stop and grab a special moment with your spouse? Well, my buddy, Dr. Greg Smalley, says that the best times actually happen between the time when we get into bed and when we fall asleep. And this is one of those conversations where you might think you need to hide the children, but I don't think you'll have to hide the children. I think this is a total G-rated family conversation, but he insists that this is some of the most sacred time that you can grab with your spouse to have a great time to connect and build your relationship. So, and always with Greg, there's always an incident. You know, there's always about 2 weeks between our conversations, and that's just enough time for Greg to get into trouble. And so I'm sure he will have a story for us today. Today can't be any different. And if he doesn't have one, he might make one up. But let's go with it, all right? So let me tell you about him, and we'll get him on the show. Dr. Greg Smalley serves as Vice President of Marriage for Focus on the Family. His books include The DNA of Relationships, A Wholehearted Marriage, Fight Your Way to a Better Marriage, just to name a few. He and his wife have three daughters, Taylor, Murphy, and Annie, and the son, Garrison. You can find their influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dr. Greg, welcome back to the show.
Susie, thank you so much for having me. And it's just amazing. You just bring me back again and again. I don't know why.
I want to hear your stories. I want to know how you got in trouble. That's not the whole truth.
I make you feel better about
myself.
Your life.
Exactly. I feel so put together after I'm done talking with you. I'm totally kidding.
Well, after hearing you introduce your first hour show or kind of summarize it, I'm like, maybe I need to rethink the topic.
The direction.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about sleep time.
Bedtime. You know what, Greg?
Talked about forgiveness. I'm going to talk about something way more important.
Yes. Well, sleep. And just for the record, you are such a good sport, and we do banter back and forth. But for anybody who hasn't listened to us before, Greg is a deep well of wisdom and insight, and he's self-deprecating. But you want to hear what the guy has to say. And I mean that. I so applaud the good fight of faith that you and Aaron do every day for marriage and family. And so you've been on the show plenty of times, and we used to co-host a show together, for those of you who don't know that. So you know the drill. We love to start out with a verse. Do you have a verse you've been thinking about these days?
I do, in light of what we're going to talk about, Psalms 127:2. I just like how this lays out. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxiousness or anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. And what I love about it is just it involves what I really do believe in what I'm finding in my own marriage to be one of the most critical moments that we can have to keep our marriage strong, and that's around that sleep time right before or right as we get into bed and before we actually close our eyes to go to sleep. It's a great moment that Aaron and I really have been working on this in our own marriage, figuring out how do we really take advantage of that time.
I love this. We've developed a routine around our bedtime, and it's made all the difference. As a rule, we try to shut all the screens off by around 9, 9:15. And I know you're going to think this is goofy, but it helps me sleep. But I have these essential oils in this diffuser next to my bed. So I get those going about 20 minutes before we get in there. Then on my phone, I have some instrumental piano music. I put that on. And then we just crawl into bed, and we take turns reading out of a devotional. We check in, and we pray. And it's just a way we bookend the day. I can't even tell you. I mean, we both get excited. Sometimes it's like 7:30. Hey, should we go to bed now?
No, it's a.m.
That's right.
We woke up 2 hours ago.
Exactly.
But it's time.
Yeah, it's time. I'm feeling it. But, I mean, talk about how you've redeemed that time and what it's done for you.
You know, Aaron and I think like everyone else, probably like you as well, Susie, you and Kevin, we're busy. We have a lot going on. We have 4 children. Man, just at such a different stages. We have our youngest, Annie, who's 9, who's, you know, now in the 3rd grade. And then we have Garrison, just today started his high school career.
Whoa.
So he's a freshman.
Oh,
I know.
Man.
Yeah. I took him to school with all the school supplies, which, by the way, is that like one of the worst experiences
it's that wrong.
You can have throughout the year?
It's
school
terrible.
Supplies.
Oh, my goodness.
Like I literally wanted to kill the people at the office supply store.
And
I just
it's
went,
not
this
their
is probably,
fault. Yeah.
No, it's not at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway, so I took him today, and it was so cute. I help him in. He just turns around, looks at me, kind of looks around at everybody, and he's like, why are you still here? And I went, okay, I'll see you later. So I just give him this big hug just to humiliate him.
And, which is perfect.
Yeah, so who knows if he's even home when I get home.
Yeah, right.
He might not be talking to me.
I think he said you two went fishing or something, didn't you?
Oh, my goodness. We did. We were invited to go to this real special kind of exclusive fishing club. It's outside of Denver, Colorado. I think ESPN rated it like the number one trout stream in North America.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't know there was such a rating, but it's number one. And so we had the most fun 2 days fishing. We caught like 40-some trout. But this little motel thing way up in the mountains we were staying at, we walked across the street to get some snacks, a little convenience store, came back, and started down the hallway of this little motel, and all of a sudden Garrison goes, whoa! And he just kind of screams, jumps back, and there was a snake just crawling down the hallway of this motel.
Oh, my
huge
goodness.
Huge snake.
Wow.
And so I'm just trying to process all this. Like, why is there a snake? And so I... You know, we had a little grocery bag, so I'm trying to swat this thing, like, to get it back out, and instead it crawls right under someone's door and is gone.
And you're so like, well, see ya.
Yeah, we just stood there staring at each other like, well, someone, I'm just waiting for the, you know,
scream.
You know, the scream, and I went and told the management, they're like, oh, thank goodness, that room is empty.
Oh, wow.
So he and I didn't sleep for the next night.
I'm sure.
Knowing that if one snake could be there, why not more?
Oh, my goodness.
How does that – have you ever seen that? A snake in a hotel hallway?
I can actually do a little bit worse than that. But when we had when we moved in the house we raised our kids in, Kev, you know, knocked down the wall to finish the family room. And so there was plywood. He put the sheetrock up. He had the fireplace in and the TV, and he was going to kind of do some tile around it. And then he got sick. He got cancer. And so that whole project stopped. So there was an easy chair in the middle of this plywood floor where he would come home from radiation and sit in front of his partially finished family room and watch TV in front of the fire. Well, one day I'm sitting on that chair and I'm crying to my friend while he's away at radiation, just saying, this is so hard, you know, whatever. I get up and the snake slithers across the floor and I yell for my boys. Well, one of them grabs it, doesn't run outside. He runs upstairs to show his brothers. They're fighting on the way downstairs going, it's my snake, it's my snake. No, I lost it in the chair 2 weeks ago. It's mine.
I lost it.
I'm like,
in the
you
chair.
What? You
Excuse
lost
me?
It in the chair? This is the mother of boys, I'm telling you what. So I'm like, it's nobody's snake. That thing is out of here.
That is a dead snake.
Yes, and this is off topic completely, but hello, my goodness. Yeah.
Well, we didn't sleep, which is a very important moment within a relationship.
Indeed. Great segue. Okay.
Now, Aaron and I are busy. I mean, just like everyone else, we have a lot going on. You know, we have a daughter that's just gotten engaged. Murphy is going off to college. And so Aaron and I, there are plenty of times where we're, I know for me that I experience those moments of going, man, there's probably more that I should be doing for my marriage. Like, I think that Aaron and I maybe had a conversation today. Really? Is that it? Is that going to keep our marriage strong? And so I think for Aaron and I, we've just really started paying attention to some key moments that will happen. And so one of those moments being that time that we get into bed, kind of like you were talking about, and then before we drift off to sleep. And the more we've talked about this, the more that we've started to create some routine around that. Susie, I'm telling you, it really has made a big difference. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to say to everybody, it may sound like, what are we talking about? You know, I would say, let's call it sleep your way to a better marriage, because there are some things that we can do that I'm telling you make a huge difference in our relationship during that kind of that window of time.
I'm telling you what, there's so much here. I'm looking at his prep notes. This could be another book, if not another speaking session. So we're going to unpack some of the ways that you can maximize those moments. But also the idea, when you get in a regular rhythm that way, actually you're going to sleep better. Sleep is when your body repairs itself. It's when you feel better in the morning. And you think of the opposite, both of you running on different tracks, going to bed at different times. There's no sync. You're not in sync. You're not in rhythm. So this brings you together at a really important time. Talking about sleeping your way to a better marriage. That's your next book, Greg. I think it could sell. I'm just saying.
Yeah, more with like three people.
Yeah. Your mom and your brother and your sister.
And some dude that loves to sleep.
Yeah. Exactly. More with Dr. Greg Smalley when we return. Hope you're having a fantastic day today. I'm Susie Larson. This is With a Promise, talking to my good friend, Dr. Greg Smalley. Always surprises me the new content that he comes up with. Today, we're talking about how to sleep your way to a better marriage. You think it's not possible? It is possible. You'll be so surprised at just what some simple routines, some simple practices and habits can do to create a safe and intimate space for that bedtime routine. So take it from there, Greg. So you said you guys have redeemed that time. And I remember years ago, you talking about how it used to be kind of maybe a point of frustration. You're both checking your cells. You're kind of working it all the way up to the last minute and dropping in bed in exhaustion. So what's changed? What do you do different?
Yeah, especially because Aaron is a night owl, and man, I'm ready to go to bed about 9. And so even we found ourselves in that habit of just not even going to bed at the same time. I think the changes started when we made a decision to make our bedroom truly a sanctuary. I mean, I love that. Love the definition. It's a place of refuge. It's a place of safety. It's some place where you feel protected. It's you're being given shelter from life, from the busyness, from the kids, from everything that's going on. And so we've literally deemed our bedroom this sanctuary, which means that we cleaned it up. And we used to have stuff stacked, and it was just a mess, and we've redone it. We've cleaned it up. I think Aaron got like a whole new bed sheet thing, and we have now 900 pillows on our bed. But anyway, and I think a part of making it a sanctuary is a couple things that we've done is to made it a no TV zone. And I think that's one of the best decisions that we've made. Mm-hmm. Early on in our marriage, we used to, Aaron's getting ready, which takes her longer than me. And so I'd flip the TV on and just, I'd be sitting there. She'd lay down and we'd both end up watching TV or watching a program that we'd record. And it just, what it did is that I noticed that it became a distraction for us. So maybe You know, maybe if we weren't really connecting, if there wasn't the kind of intimacy that we needed to keep our marriage strong, man, TV is a great way to create sort of a pseudo connection, because we're there, we're laying next to each other, but we're not connecting. We're just watching, you know, mindlessly TV. And I love TVs. Don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you to sell your TVs and get rid of them all. I'm just saying, man, make that bedroom of yours a sanctuary. So look for some of the things that may need to be taken out of there that cause those distractions.
Yeah, like you don't want to keep a stack of bills in there, or, you know.
It's true.
Right?
I mean, even noticing those things, maybe there's habits of things that you do that you can change to say that, no, this is going to be a different place for us, different from the rest of the house.
I mean, I want to go so far as, because I hear these stories where people will put their exercise bike in their bedroom and never use it, so they put their dirty clothes over it. And yeah, they wake up, the first thing they feel is guilt, like, I'm a loser. I never even work out on that. I mean, right away you look at where your thoughts go, because that's not a safe place. It's a reminder then of all the stuff you're not doing. And so this really is a key point, isn't it?
It is. Another big one for us is just limit in to either limit or say completely no to children sleeping. Man, and I've heard, it's funny how this can really inspire debate, but I just don't think there's really, I mean, outside of maybe some medical conditions or something, I mean, maybe there are some reasons, but I just don't think our children should be sleeping with us.
How about pit bulls? Is that okay or no? Because
well,
I want them off the bed.
I know your pit bulls, exactly.
He
I
and
would
Kevin.
Extend that to pit bulls.
I do have
well.
To say this, because I know he thinks that he and Kevin are the couple and I'm the extra. But there was one morning, I'm like, if I had taken a picture, but they're face to face on Kev's pillow, and his paw is under his neck and is on top. Like he, the next step was to kiss him on the face. I'm like, you telling me these two don't have, I mean, really, you guys are sharing the pillow, you're face to face. You don't think I should be bothered by
anyway, this can't be right.
This is something
I don't
about
know
this. I'm
why
feeling
it's
ousted.
Wrong.
Anyway, so no kids in the bed. Okay, what else?
I would do, because one, it interrupts your sleep. So Susie, you're the health expert. Mm-hmm. You could speak to that. But when our sleep is interrupted, I mean, that's going to affect us. But then I think it's taken away from that, what I would call that pillow talk
yep.
time. That's when we're just connecting, talking about the day. I mean, whatever. And with our children there, it's just. You know, so outside of real special occasions, I mean, we really have trained our children, man, this is not your space.
Yeah, that's and, wise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The other big one, too, for us has been, like you were talking about earlier, just to leave that cell phone. Got to get the smartphone out of our room. And Aaron and I have so struggled with this, because it's so easy. I mean, the smartphones are amazing. Just the news feeds and the games you can have onto all the social media stuff. So Erin and I will just be laying there, and she'll have on the, you know, social media and on hers, and she's texting. I'm looking at some of what's going on in the world. And so we've tried our very best to limit that. What we're discovering is that we just need to leave it out of our room. I'm keeping mine now on next to my sink in the bathroom, because otherwise it's just too tempting. Mm. I mean, maybe it's just us, but we can't figure that one out.
There's part of me that feels safe having it right next to me, and I love to play my little instrumental piano music. But I also have heard that, I don't understand the dynamic of it, but just the cellular, these products, the more electronics that you have in your room actually do affect the waves of them. I don't quite understand how it works, but it does interrupt sleep rhythm. I mean, it just makes it harder to get into REM sleep. I'd love to dig into that someday and find out more about it. But it would be curious, if you move those out, what a difference it might make, you know?
It really, I mean, in our conversations have been, in Proverbs 3:9, it talks about honoring the Lord, you know, with our wealth, our tithes. But he calls it the first fruits of all your produce. And I love that idea of guarding and protecting your first fruits, making sure that you're giving your best, your first fruits to your spouse in terms of relationship. And I'm telling you, smartphones just rob that. I mean, they have terms, you know, it's called like flubbed or something, where it stands for phone snubbed, so fubbed or something, to where it's actually a thing. People say it. It's when they feel like their spouse always has the phone in the hand. They're checking it first.
And that's epidemic. And that's for parents with their kids, too, both ways, isn't it?
It really is. And so I try to remember that idea of the first fruits. I want to give Aaron the first fruits. And so when we lay down, here we have this amazing window of time. We will go to sleep. And so how are we going to use that time? And I tell you, Susie, for us, boy, a lot of that time was being spent on the phone. We kind of, since we moved the TV out, it went from the TV to the cell phone. And we've just been battling through that, really working on that, trying, how do we not do that? Because it's just so tempting.
Mm. Okay, what else?
You know, one of the other ones that I think is critical is to go to bed at the same time.
Yep.
And I was amazed when I did some research around this, and it was like I found a study that showed about 75% of couples reported that they don't go to bed at the same time. And that just shocked me. And I was like, wow. And now, again, you might have different work schedules. You might have life things that prohibit that. But for a lot, they're downstairs watching TV, they're on the internet, you know, they're doing social media, they've got all kinds of stuff that's going on. And the problem is it becomes such an easy way to avoid intimacy. And I mean, research has really looked at this, and they're finding that the couples who go to bed at different times report significantly less relationship satisfaction than those who are actually going to bed at the same time.
Well, you think about, you know, bedtime, sleep time, and just physiologically is a place and a time where your cells repair. You know, they often describe it as like little screwdrivers come out and repair what's broken, because our day breaks down different things in our body and the sleep builds it back up again. Well, there's other things that happen, I think, to our soul as well. And if you're going to bed alone and you're not sorting that through and you're kind of traveling on separate tracks, you're going to bed with your head on your pillow alone, but you're actually one. You're together. You should be together. And boy, maybe on the other side of the break, I'd love for you to talk about if someone's a night person like Aaron and you're a morning person, what are some practical ways to ride in sync so that you're accommodating both sleep styles? My first thought would be, you know, the nighttime person, go to bed with the earlier person. And once that person's off to sleep, read your book or do something. But I think we're oversaturated with the screen time. That's doing very little for us, you know. But I'd love your thoughts.
That's exactly what I would say. And as a matter of fact, I'll tell you, one of the funniest times I got in trouble in my marriage happened when I went to bed with Aaron and then woke up. And anyway, I'll tell you. It's,
I feel the story
you'll
coming
appreciate
on.
It.
Can't wait. More with Dr. Greg Smalley in just a moment. We've got a few Smalley resources. Excuse me, Wholehearted Marriage, Fight Your Way to a Better Marriage. If you've got a question for Greg, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And if I don't get any questions, you can be in on the drawing just by emailing me your name, mailing address, and put Smalley in the email, and I'll know what you're going for. Don't go away. More with Greg when we return. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my good friend, Dr. Greg Smalley. We get him on, sometimes he and Aaron together, to talk different relationship marriage issues. Today we're talking about, are you ready? Sleep your way to a better marriage. It is possible. We're actually talking about that very important time between when you turn the lights off and the screens off and you crawl into bed and before you fall asleep. Greg is saying that this can be the most redemptive part of your day with your spouse. And he says, create a sanctuary in your room. Get rid of all the distractions. If you've got stacks of stuff, get rid of them so it's a safe and a sacred place. He suggests a no TV zone, says not to let kids sleep in your bedroom. Aaron, our producer, had a thought though, Greg, if it's a storm and they're scared, can they crawl into bed then?
Well, let's say last night, for example, Yeah, our power went off.
Oh, wow.
And so middle of the night, and we've trained all of our kids to sleep with white noise. And so the power went off, of course, so does the white noise. And instantly, Annie Garrison came and just jumped in bed. And of course, they're ushering me out to go check to make sure that no one's robbing our house. And I came back, and it was so funny just laying there with Annie on one arm, Garrison, my 15-year-old son, bigger than me, on the other arm, and just kind of holding him close and going,
see,
yeah, this
you have
is,
to
man,
do
this
that.
Is living. So, yes, there are those special occasions. But, I mean, we've talked to a lot of parents who allow this, you know, with more on a more regular basis in just it's very difficult to have the intimacy
As a bad habit. It's not a good habit to get into. That's a sweet little family moment. But just when we kind of cultivate that, they can just come in as a default response. Then there's no rest for the couple and no intimacy. And
right.
I totally see what you mean. You also said to just suggest, if you can, get the smartphones out of the room, plug them in the bathroom if you're able. Now, this is the one we started to talk about before the break, going to bed at the same time. So let's say you've got a late night person and an early morning person. Because you said research clearly shows that there's like a 70% dissatisfaction in marriage for couples who don't go to bed at the same time. And there's just, I'm sure, obvious reasons for why that is. One listener just wrote in and said, you know, heard you mention this, going to the bed at the same time. What suggestions do you have for me to ask my husband to go to bed earlier? What say you, Greg?
Well, the key is to kind of to agree, to talk this through and decide together that we're going to make this a sacred time. So right before bed, we see that there are some amazing things that we can do that's going to strengthen our relationship. Let's be intentional about this. So decide then to go to bed at the same time as the earliest spouse. So whoever goes to bed earlier. So in my marriage, that would be me. I like to be in bed about 9:30. And so Aaron, who's a night owl, of course, hears that and goes, what? I'm just getting warmed up and I've got all the stuff that I've saved. However, I'm not saying that the night owl has to then shut down for the whole night and go to sleep. It's just go get into bed and utilize that time. And I, for the longest time, like I never knew this, but Erin told me, she would say, yeah, I'll come to bed and, you know, and we'll have that kind of special time together. And then you fall asleep. I just get up and I like work for another couple hours.
Wow.
And I just went, what? What? I mean, I didn't even realize that
I
was
hugging
happening.
A pillow the whole time.
It was the dog. I knew it. And so which is fine. So for the late night owl, relax. You're going to get into bed and you're going to reap the benefits and then go. If you still want to get some other stuff done, go do that as your spouse falls off to sleep. One time, Aaron and I, we'd start off in bed, she fell asleep, and then my buddy, who we were in graduate school, and so they lived in apartments, just a couple apartments down, said, hey, when the girls fall asleep, let's get back together and play video games.
Oh,
like on
my word.
Weekend or something, which I didn't think was a big deal at all. I'm like, hey, that's pretty genius right there. So girls, both wives fall asleep. He comes over. We're playing video games for hours. It was awesome. Just he and I were playing. Well, all of a sudden Aaron comes out and my sweet wife is like legally blind without some corrective glasses or contacts. And so she didn't have anything on. And she just came stumbling out in the living room and just went, hey, what's all that noise? And so my friend just kind of shot to the ground. And so she's trying to figure this out, sees him, sees me. Well, needless to say, we were in big trouble.
Yeah.
And this dude's wife figured it out because he put his clothes back in a different place than when he started off. And she noticed that. She's like, hey, why was your shirt over there when we went to bed? It was
See,
there.
We're no dummies.
Oh, man. Yeah. So maybe you don't do that.
Yeah.
But if you've got other work to do, Aaron and I just have found that there really is that sacred time. First of all, we practice pillow talk. Mm. And in other words, we've made it very clear when our heads hit the pillow, and we're not going to administrate our marriage. We're not going to talk about budgets, kids, schedules, task lists, to do, none of that. what we've started doing is we do the high and low game. You know, what was the best part of your day? What was the, you know, what was the low part? And it's such a quick little easy check-in. Oh, wow, I didn't even know that happened. Oh, wow, hey, can I pray for that? Whatever. It's just, it's a very simple thing. Try that. Just as you're laying there, hey, high and low, what was the best part of your day, the worst part of your day? And it's just given Aaron and I just a very simple way just to kind of check in. So I think your option is pillow talk. You can just check in. You can stay updated. You stay current. So, I mean, that's a huge benefit. Affection. I mean, from snuggling to spooning to giving each other massage to kissing to sex. I mean, it's all available right there. In obviously, I mean, I don't think I need to explain that, how that, boy, that just, that the intimacy, the level of connection. You know, guys, you know, sex for a man connects us to our wife. And of course, for our wife, she needs that relationship in order to really be excited about sex. But therefore, you have that pillow talk time, you're connecting. I mean, man, you can have every bit of that during that window. I've found that it's a perfect opportunity to just say thank you to Erin, express some gratitude. What did I notice that she did throughout the day that I appreciated?
I mean, that's such a good note to end the day on, you know. And you often hear, you know, we're going to have quality time, quality over quantity. But you can't plan quality time. You can try to plan it and you end up in a fight. I mean, but if you have quantity, like if you have a consistency around the bedtime, the chances of quality time go up exponentially because you've created this space to get together. And then you land upon those moments that are just divine. But I think you have to create enough space and consistency for them, right?
You really do. And it's you have to be intentional. And so for the listener who wrote in, you know, how would I convince my husband? I mean, just talk about that. I go to bed first. Could we both get into bed, have a moment? Let's high and low game. You know, let's just see what else happens. You know, you praying together. I mean, you can't emphasize that one enough. The power of a husband and wife. One of the last things that we do before we go to bed should be that we're praying together. And Aaron and I do that. We don't do that every night. So I don't want to mislead anybody. There are nights that the cell phones come out and we miss it. All right.
But don't you kind of lose the taste for it? Once you created a sacred space and you sort of tasted the fruit of better choices, it almost is like, you know, you eat that other thing, you do the cell phone, you miss each other. It's sort of sour. It's just like, you know, I don't know why this always seems so appealing because it just does not do for my soul what quality time does, you know?
It really is true. And that's why for us, the thing that discourages me is the thought of saying, man, I'm already overloaded. I've got so much going on. I mean, how do I keep adding things onto the plate? How do I carve out time for a date night? And, you know, the things that we quote unquote should be doing versus just saying, you know what? We are going to lay down to go to sleep tonight. Why can't we take 5 minutes in have some connection, talk for a moment, high and low, pray together, express some gratitude, have some physical intimacy. I mean, that's all available. It doesn't have to happen every night. I'm just saying it's there, and what it's done for me is that it's taken the burden off, the pressure that I've got to create all this new stuff, and it's just allowing us to take advantage of a moment that's going to happen anyway.
Well, and just on the health side, if I can just interject this, we have Dr. Troy on the show once a month, and he says so many of the sicknesses and the breakdowns of our immune systems is from lack of sleep, from sleep disorders. And so much of the sleep issue, many of the sleep issues that people deal with come from an inconsistency around the bedtime. And so really the payoff on so many levels is so significant that this is just worth moving your schedule around to do whatever you have to do to create some space. And I would suggest, you know, pick a 9 hour, I would say 9 hour slot for your bedtime, because you probably make room to sleep 7 to 8 hours. But to have some room to read, to have some room to just exhale, to transfer into the hustle bustle of the day, transfer out of that into the rest of the day. What an incredible difference it makes. I can't make a case for that enough. But you start to taste the fruits of it, don't you, Greg? I mean, you feel physically different, relationally different. It does something for your perspective even.
Yeah, seriously, a brand new research study, just saw it, that just hit the news, that said that when husbands and wives get more sleep than on an average night, they are more satisfied with their marriage, at least for the following day. And so it's almost, you know, when you've got that great night of sleep, it gives you a win relationally for the next day. And hopefully you can use that, and that can build on the next day and the next day. And so, again, this is not going to cure, you know, if there's major problems in your marriage. You know, we have intensive programs. Right.
Yeah.
It's just something that Aaron and I are doing proactively. You've got to deal with the problems. You've got to deal with the crises. And I'm not trying to minimize that or make it sound like we don't deal with any hard times. But you also have to be investing in your marriage every day. And this is really, I would say, honestly, Susie, this is probably the moment that we focus on more than any other just moment that'll happen. It just, because I think it really can reap that many benefits for our marriage if you take advantage of that little window before you go to bed.
Wow, we're going to take our last break here. I have a favor to ask of you, Greg. My brother Greg's listening, and I'm wondering if you could shout out to him and say something really smart.
Super smart?
Well, no, just kind of smart. I mean,
like,
don't set
Greg,
the bar too high.
Like, you've got the most awesome sister.
Oh, that's good.
And we now know who has all the brains in the
family. No, I'm just kidding. Keep going. One more
thing.
Love
you, Greg.
Love you, Greg. Glad you're listening. More with Dr. Greg Smalley when we return. It is really amazing how just the littlest tweaks, the littlest changes in our health, our diet, our disciplines can make a massive difference in our overall life. Well, today I'm talking to Dr. Greg Smalley about just a tweak to your bedtime routine and what it creates in the intimacy in marriage. And having a consistent bedtime, making your bedroom a sanctuary, getting rid of the piles and the stacks and the things that just sort of create stress, having just some time where you connect as a couple, connect about the day, you get to pray together. Now, this one surprised me in your notes, because you and I have had conversations on the flip side of this idea. Well, Scripture talks about don't go to bed angry, and there's more to it than that in Scripture work, because some people force feed that, and those of us who are not night people, you're killing us when you want to keep fighting at 2 a.m. So maybe give some balance to that whole, what that Scripture talks about.
Yeah, the idea is just to really guard against going to bed angry. Doesn't mean you have to resolve conflicts, you know, before you actually go to sleep. It's just being intentional of going, you know what, let's set a boundary as best as we can in our relationship that, like, past 9 o'clock, we're not going to get into those really hardcore, serious conversations. I mean, one of the funniest times in my marriage ever was when we were laying in bed early on in our marriage, and my wife asked me to rate her a 0 to 10. You know this story.
Say it. It's good.
And so I was like, what? She goes, yeah, how am I doing as a wife? Like, 0 being the worst, 10 being the best. Where would you rate me? Well, I thought I came up with a perfect answer, and I said, well, that's easy, honey. You are a 9.3. No, I couldn't tell you.
And you didn't
what...
see where that was going, Greg?
Yeah.
I love you, buddy.
Like, but... the Russian judge. I'm not sure what I deducted to get her to a 0.3, a 9.3. But whatever it was, man, she was so ticked. She starts crying, and she's arguing. We get in this big fight, and I think... She finally, I think it ended. I think I went and slept on the couch when she goes, oh, yeah. She goes, I may be a 9.3, but at least I'm not a 5 like you are.
And you thought, well,
Oh, I just thought, is this really marriage?
You thought, I'm a C student, so that's about
right. Yeah, that was about right. That felt comfortable.
Yeah, I'm good.
I could live with that. But, I mean, there's got to be a way in which that we do protect our relationship.
Yeah.
And those kinds of conversations late at night, normally just they don't go well.
Right.
And the problem is, like what I experience over and over and over again, when Aaron and I – you know, have a difficult evening together, you know, we get into a real serious discussion right before bed, or we get into an argument before bed. I mean, I sleep so poorly.
Yeah.
I toss and turn, and I so believe that that's when Satan is attacking. And, you know, he's like that lion. He's looking for the injured, the isolated. And he knows that in that state, when I am mad at my wife, when I'm hurt by my wife, that my heart's shut down, that I'm in a tough spot, and he goes after me. And I sleep so poorly. And that's why I say that, you know, the second part of that verse, it says, in your anger, do not sin. It says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, because you don't want to give the devil a foothold. And I believe that in that context, the foothold is that you're just your heart is so closed that you're, it's like you're
when
on
you
your
give,
own.
And you give the enemy legal access to you. I mean, that's the thing we spent the whole first hour talking about. There is legal access because you're out of rank and you're out of sync with the things of God. And you've talked about this. We've talked about it many times, where you have to determine in your head that, like, I'm going to forgive this. And I mean, to somehow tie it up before you go to sleep, to say, we'll finish this, but I'm determining now, I will forgive, and we will, I'm going to believe the best, and we're a team. I mean, maybe give some just suggestion for just perspective, so that even if you're in the middle of a heat of an argument and everybody's just too tired, what do you kind of tell yourself so that you can envision, you know, winning when it's all said and done?
When I think about marriage, one of the things that it's so exciting about marriage is that this amazing thing that God created, he gave us this gift of oneness. That's when the two, the man and the wife, they become one. That unity, that unified force, is one of the most powerful forces on earth. And Satan hates that. And he will go after that. But see, when Aaron and I are on a great spot here, we've used our time before bed in a great way, and we're so unified, we're on the same page, we're one. I mean, we're not an easy target. It's when we get into these arguments and we're now shut down, we're angry, hurt. It's like that oneness is temporarily separated. There's like a divergence in that oneness. And now we're on our own, and that's when Satan goes after us. That's why it's worth putting that sort of boundary and that sort of limit, and just agreeing ahead of time, going, you know what, man, we know what it's like when we're disconnected, when we're frustrated, when we're hurt. It's a horrible night's sleep, and let's guard against that. Let's just agree that hey, if something comes up, let's just suspend that, and let's talk about it tomorrow. Let boundary. Let's say to each other, I love you enough that I'm not willing to do that right before bed while it's late. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to have this great pillow talk time and you're going to have sex. I mean, probably not, but that's okay. Because what you're guarding against is this spiraling down within that conflict. You're tired anyway. The end of the day is the worst time to have serious discussions. Just choose that differently. And I hear the arguments all the time. Well, you know, we don't have any other time, and it's the only time we're alone, and the kids are finally down. We have to talk about serious stuff. It's just ask, how's that go for you?
And I guarantee
that
you,
work?
That's the night person saying that, because you want to scratch your eyeballs out when you're a morning person, and you're like, this is unfair territory.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
Just saying.
And I'm talking like 6 p.m. That's late
exactly.
for me. So.
Yep. Yeah.
It's just protect. Let's just guard that time. It really can be a sacred time. That little window between when we get into bed and when we fall asleep, if we're intentional and we're careful, there can be some experiences that so draw us together in that as we use that time. See, that's the feeling your spouse is going to hold all night long. I mean, if you're wondering, like, seriously, Smalley, why is this such a big deal? Man, you connect with your wife, you do that little high and low game, man, you spoon, you cuddle. I'm telling you that that is the feeling that she will hold all night long. And I want my wife to have happy feelings about me.
And then, you know,
I hate those moments that she has those dreams and she's like, yeah, I dreamt about you and you were unfaithful. I'm like, well, sorry, yeah. I guess. And my dream
failed you.
Says, yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
But you know what? We want to feel safe in the relationship. And those things make such a big difference. And I just want you to picture, guys listening, your wife going to bed alone and your back is turned to her. Her back is turned to you. And there's so many messages that come our way, so many things that make us afraid. And your bedroom is like your most intimate room of your house. And if you're not feeling safe and connected there, it will impact everything outside that room, won't it, Greg?
It really will. I mean, in some ways, that can serve as sort of a barometer for the rest of the relationship. If we're watching TV, if that's on all the time, we've got stacks of junk all over the place. If we're letting our kids, you know, spend the night in our room or on the cell phone, I mean, all that is probably going to be a microcosm of the bigger relationship. And yet when we really intentionally use that time in a way that we can and protect it and guard it and use it and have those conversations, have that set, just those connection times, man, it really does make a difference. And Susie, more than anything, I just want people to understand, don't set the wrong expectation. I mean, you're not going to do this every single night. Let that go. Just target, just be intentional and start to build that habit. And I think it'll become easier and easier and you'll have more nights that you're taking advantage of.
Now, we just got about 45 seconds before it's time to pray, but I thought it was interesting. You even listed research on making the bed, and you're against it. You're against bed making for very strong health reasons, I might say.
I honestly, me personally, making the bed is the dumbest thing. I love Jim Gaffigan said that I don't make the bed for the same reason I don't tie my shoes when I take them off. It just doesn't make sense. You know, I'm like, Aaron, are you giving tours of our bedroom while I'm gone during the day? I mean, what is happening? Why do we have to make this bed? And the other day, though, we were arguing about this, and I think it was like literally like 6 p.m., and we were both in our bedroom, and it was unmade, and she goes, hey, would you make the bed? I'm like, we're going to go to bed in like 2 hours. I know, but I was like, I can't take this anymore. And all of a sudden, I just heard myself. I heard the selfishness. I heard the barrier. I heard that I don't want to do this because I think it's stupid, not because of what you want. And just the whole idea of, you know, Christ laying down his life just hit me with a ton of bricks. And I told her, I said, you know what? Hold on a moment. I said, this is becoming a barrier to me truly, fully sacrificing. I mean, it's a way that I could. And I said, Aaron, if it matters that much to you, that I'm going
to
now make the bed. And I faithfully
way
do
to
that.
Go,
I
dude.
Still think it's the dumbest thing. I'll never get over it. But I don't do it with a bad attitude. I do it as a way to sacrifice for my
wife. Way to go, brother. Well, would you pray for that person listening today who's just maybe kind of fallen into a bad rut, and they're just maybe bored in their marriage and they just need some revival. Would you pray for that person listening today?
God, we just pray that you can redeem even a simple space in our home and turn it into a sacred space, a sanctuary, Lord. And we pray that that becomes our bedroom, Lord. Give us a vision of how we can use that little window of time, Lord, before we go to sleep, just to keep our marriage strong. So, Lord, just give us great conversations around that. Lord, just the fun and the enjoyment of being together, doing pillow talk, Lord, having sex that you gave us as a gift, Lord, all of that. God, just redeem that room and that special time before we go to sleep, God. Just thank you for all that you do and the ways you can take simple things like that and use them to grow us closer together, that our marriage becomes more like what you envision. So, God, we just pray that that happens for all of us. It's in your precious name we pray.
Amen. Greg, I know you're such a busy guy, and I love that you take time for us. So thank you for that, and bless your day.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Until you come back. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Don't forget to download the free Faith Radio app so you can take us with you wherever you go. And we will meet you back here next time.